Antonio Nunez is someone in California who was accused of getting in a car with an older man, with two older men, and one of the men later alleged or asserted that he had been kidnapped. And they were chased by some undercover police officers and crashed their car. Shots were fired at the police officers. No one was hurt, no one was injured, but both Antonio, who was 14, and his 27-year-old co-defendant were tried as adults, convicted of aggravated kidnapping, and the mandatory sentence was life in prison without parole. We have a couple of cases in Florida where young kids have been convicted of attempted robberies or sexual assaults where there was no homicide, and they are also doing imprisonment until death sentence.
Obviously, in some of the cases, there is a homicide involved, and victims' rights groups, you know, have said these crimes are terrible, these people are dangerous, only a life sentence without possibility of release. It's a fit and moral and practical response.
Well, I think in the cases of almost all of these children, it's a more complicated story than that. We're not representing anybody who has not been the victim of a lot of violent crime themselves. Most of the cases we're seeing are cases where kids were pretty severely abused, pretty severely neglected. A lot of them had been raped. A lot of them had been pretty violently assaulted. And then they reacted violently. And I certainly do not argue that these crimes are not serious, that these kids require intervention, that they require correction and punishment. But I think to say that a 13- and 14-year-old child can't change, they have to die in prison, is too excessive. There are thousands and thousands of murders committed in America each year. Most of the people convicted of those crimes get parolable sentences. I'm not asserting that all of these kids have to be released or should be released. I am asserting that these cases should be reviewed.
You talk about the kids suffering abuse themselves, and it's probably difficult to go into any prison in the United States and not find adult offenders who were themselves victims of abuse as children. Where is the tipping point for you between a child offender and an adult offender?
You know, we have now 2.3 million people in jails and prisons in America. A lot of those folks actually, you know, were not subjected to the kind of victimization and abuse that these young kids were. And usually kids who are engaged in the kinds of crimes that result in life without parole are kids who are really in the extremes. Somebody like Ashley Jones was abandoned in crack houses 3 or 4 times before she was 4 years old. She had been shot at by her parents. She was raped by a stepfather. She was assaulted by her father. She had been kidnapped by a gang shortly before this crime took place. That kind of victimization, that kind of abuse is pretty extreme. And that's the distinction I make. I certainly don't assert that anybody who has been the victim of child abuse should be excused for crime. But these kids are really children who have almost never gotten the kind of help that all kids need. And I think to not do anything about their abuse for 12, 13 years and then condemn them to die in prison at 14 years is simply not fair. And that's why I think there is a huge distinction between these kinds of children and older adults and even older teens.
Let's talk for a moment about the science of the brain behind this, because there's been a lot of study on the brain development of teenagers, younger teenagers in particular, and whether or not they're able to make wise decisions and therefore should be held accountable for them, some would say.
Yeah, the United States Supreme Court, in striking down the death penalty for juveniles in 2005, relied heavily on new evidence that establishes that young children's brain development is much slower than was once believed. At 13 and 14, most kids are just not capable of the kind of complex reasoning, the kind of mature reasoning that adults can engage in. And that was one of the reasons why the court concluded that it's simply not appropriate to treat a child that young like an adult. I mean, the one thing I can tell you about all of these kids who are 13 and 14 is they are definitely going to change. I mean, they're going to change biologically. They're going to change emotionally. They're going to change psychologically, as all 13- and 14-year-olds change. And I think this new brain science has just made it even harder to conclude that these kids are beyond redemption, beyond rehabilitation, have the same capacity to reason and make judgments in a criminal context as an adult.
Now, the United States is, I guess, sort of on an island in the world when you look at the treatment of young teenagers like this. Tell us how it's handled in other parts, maybe, you know, in Europe, for instance.
Well, I think in most countries around the world, you can have children prosecuted as adults, but those cases are always reviewed. That is, you are never disqualified from parole. And the United States is the only country in the world known to intentionally condemn 13- and 14-year-old kids to death in prison. And I think that undermines our advocacy on human rights. We have not signed the Covenant on the Rights of the Child, in part because we want to retain these punishments for young kids. I think it's pretty shocking to a lot of people around the world that we would take a 13- or 14-year-old who has not committed a homicide and say they have to be imprisoned until death. And so we're definitely out of step on this issue. But, we have the highest rate of incarceration in the world. And so I think with regard to punishment, we've definitely been moving in a different direction than the rest of the world.
So what would you like to see happen then? Would you like to see regular review of these cases, the elimination of mandatory sentencing?
I think at a minimum, when you're dealing with a child who's 13 or 14, the sentencer has to have discretion to consider their background, the circumstances around the crime, whether there are older co-defendants who are more primary, who are more culpable. So yes, I don't think mandatory sentencing should be permitted when you're dealing with kids this young. Secondly, I don't think that life without parole is an appropriate punishment for kids this age. I think you may conclude that a sentence that gives the state custody over a child for the rest of their life is appropriate. But I think parole review should be something available to all of these kids. There may be some kids who are never going to be ready for release, but there are going to be a lot who are. And I think to preclude that opportunity is to really deny hope to these children. And I think that's not consistent with a rational or sane or compassionate justice system.
Does it make your work more difficult when you see things like the shooting in Cleveland that happened at the school recently and sort of this fear about child predators?
I think there's been so much hysteria about child crime and there is so much fear and anger about it that it certainly contributes to the environment. But by and large, when you're talking about kids who are 13 and 14, there haven't been those sorts of incidents. Most of these child school cases have involved older teens. Again, we're not contending that the state is powerless to do something about kids who commit violent crimes. We think there should be intervention. What we're challenging is this idea that you can just throw away kids forever.